Morning, church. I don't know about y'all, but I'm having fun. This is all good. Yeah, I like it when we do stuff that's not printed in the bulletin. That's just cool. I like it. I love the singing. I love the fellowship. A sweet spirit here today. As always, I'm beginning to wonder, though, if somebody isn't coming and reading my mail. First thing I pick up here is this bulletin this morning. I'll take a look at the bottom of it. It says, when you feel dog tired at night, it may be because you've been growling all day. Ooh. Yeah. Somebody reading my... Then you got a lawnmower on your advertisement here at the church. I can't get away from it, Miss Gray. I don't know what the deal is, you know? No, I'm thrilled to be with you. I appreciate the opportunity to share with you. What I want to bring this morning is probably going to be different than anything you've ever seen or heard. Do we have the CD pictures? Don't use them yet. But I want to start off by simply saying this is a privilege and an opportunity that I relish to be able to share this with you. Several years ago, I'll tell you the story, and then we'll start looking at some pictures as we'll go on with it. In 2008, a gentleman in our Sunday school class named Chris McDonald, a very, very talented guy when it comes to automotive things, he had a friend that was a doctor. They met in Jacksonville, and Chris moved here with his work, and the doctor moved to North Carolina, and they kept in contact with one another, but they were not living in the same area. Well, Chris is a writer was a writer for Pontiac Magazine, very, very talented guy. One day, the doctor called him up, and he said, hey, listen, Chris, he said, I bought a 68 Pontiac Firebird off the internet out of Iowa, and he said, I'm sending it to you, and I want you to evaluate it for restoration. So Chris said, okay, that'll be fine. And a few weeks later, the car arrived, and the only way I can tell you is you'll see it in pictures in a few minutes. It was a disaster. I mean, they had to roll it off the trailer. The guy who brought it was so ready to get rid of it because he'd had to roll it on and off the trailer several times since Iowa. It was dented everywhere. It was in really, really bad shape. So the doctor, Chris gets on the phone immediately. He says, hey, listen, you don't know what you've bought. You need to come down here right away. So a couple of days later, the guy flies in on an airplane and comes and meets with Chris. And by this time, Chris has got it on his car trailer, and they're going to take it down and have it evaluated at the local body shop for restoration. And so they do. They drive down to the body shop. And here's where it gets interesting. I want you to pay close attention to the language. How many of you all believe in divine appointments? Instead of coincidences, this is a divine appointment, and you'll see it more clearly as I go along. He rode down to the body shop, and this is the language that he used. And he looked at the body shop guy, and he says, "Can this thing be saved?" Body shop guy said, "Give me a minute, I'll let you know." So he looks all around the underside, and he gets up and on the trailer and looks on the inside, and pops open the hood, looks inside there. And it looks really, really rough. He comes back over and he said, well, let me answer your question honestly. And he said, then I'll qualify it for you. He said, yes, sir. He said, it can be saved. He said, but I don't know anybody be willing to pay that kind of price. That don't sound like much on the surface, but you stay with me because that's going to be huge in where I'm going this morning. So he wasn't real happy with that response. He said, what are you talking about? He said, well, let me help you out here. He said, they made almost 60,000 of these in 1968. So this is not like one of five. This is one of 60,000. There's really nothing that special about this car. And he said, it would cost you between $30,000 and $35,000 for me to fix the body on it because every panel's bent and crooked. And he said, the frame's got damage on it. It's a Flintstone car. It's got holes in it. My suggestion to you, you have it on the trailer, take it to Allied Scrap Iron and see what you can get for it in the scrap price. He said, oh, yeah, and by the way, I don't know where you got this, but if you didn't look at it before you bought it, shame on you. He did not look at it. He bought it online out of Iowa, and he lived in North Carolina, so it came down here. So Chris looks at the guy and he says, what do you want to do? He said, well, I don't really know what to do. He said, let's just ride and we'll think about it for a minute. So they got back in Chris's truck and left. And as they were riding down the road, Chris would tell you right off the top, he said, I didn't have this in my mind when we came down here this morning. Maybe God put it in my mind. I don't know what happened, but here's the deal. He said, I looked over at my doctor friend and I said, hey, listen. Why don't I pay you scrap price for the car and I'll keep it? He said, well, what do you want to do with it? He said, I'm a part of a Sunday school class at First Baptist Church at DeMaul. We're called Victory Lane. We're a bunch of guys and girls who love old cars and we love racing and we like all things related to that. He said, I think it would be a great project car for us to rebuild as a class. And the guy said, are you crazy? He said, didn't you hear what the fellow just said? It costs $35,000 to just start on this, and I don't include an engine and a transmission and a rear end or anything like that. And the guy said, Chris said, I don't know. I just have this feeling it'd be great. It would bring us together. We got quite a few talented guys in the class, and I think it would be kind of a neat process for us to go through this. So the guy said, well, if you're going to use it, what are you going to use it for? He said, well, I think we'd like to use it for ministry. And he said, ministry? What do you mean ministry? He said, well, the restoration of an automobile is a lot like how God restores a life. He finds it at a certain condition, and he evaluates whether or not it's worthy of a restoration. You know, God doesn't evaluate whether you're worthy of a restoration. He looks at what's there and realizes what needs to be done. And then he gets about making that restoration take place. So the guy said, well, if that's what you're going to do with it, I'll go ahead and just give it to you. And he did. So if you got those slides ready up there, the car in the upper part of that picture is what we received on the 26th of April in 2008. The car at the bottom is a very, very close rendering to what took place 4.5 years later. Okay, go ahead, please. We took this down. That's Mark Lowe's garage, by the way. If you don't know who that is, that's Sonia Lowe's husband, and that's Larry Nelson's daughter. That's what we received that day. And as we begin to tear it apart, go ahead. Like I said, it's a Flintstone car. What you see there is a hole in the seat, but what you see in front of that is that's a hole in the floorboard. Okay? So you can see the road underneath where you sit. Not necessarily encouraging at this point, wouldn't you think? Okay? Go ahead, please. That was the beautiful 350 engine that came in that car. There's a whole nother lesson to go along with that, and I won't take the time to say that to you this morning, but that thing's froze up solid. It would work better as a boat anchor than it would as an engine. You can see all the rust on it. Those little holes there, pistons are supposed to slide up and down in those. It was rusted completely shut. See, that's what happens when something that was designed to be useful gets parked in a field in Iowa and left alone for 12 years. And the message in that is God has gifted each and every one of you. You have some kind of gift. Some of you have multiple gifts. And the question is am I using that? And if I am I using it for God's glory or my own? If you leave it alone, it can and will go away. And that God taught us as a class, he taught us lesson after lesson after lesson with this car. Okay, go ahead. That's the front of the car after we took off what was up front. And you can see that it's really rusted and messed up, and honestly and truthfully, everything you see there, with the exception of the frame, came off and went in a pile. And the truth of the matter is before we got done, the pile of stuff that we actually threw away was greater than the pile of stuff that we kept. So National Parts Depot, when we got restoration started, God bless their soul, National Parts Depot in Ocala donated the first $1,000 worth of front end parts for this project car, because they believed in what we were doing, and we were blessed to be able to do that. Go ahead, sir. Now, when I told you we had a Flintstone car, I was very serious. The whole floorboard had to come out of that car. You see the crossbars on there? Those are there because the rest of the car was too flimsy to stay together by itself. So we had to weld crossbars onto it just to hold it together. And then there's the whole new floorboard. That's a whole floor pan. That whole thing had to go inside the car. All right, go ahead. It was so bad that we took everything off of it. And there's a couple of my buddies. And of course, you recognize Mark. And there's my buddy Emo. The frame in the bottom corner, Chris evaluated it. And he looked at it and he said, you know what? When we start hanging panels back on this thing, it'll be so crooked that everything will come out wrong and nothing's going to fit. So he called Pontiac in Michigan and said, we need the specifications to build a body jig for this car, because we're going to need to have something to hold it straight whenever we start hanging panels on it. So they sent the specifications, and if my memory serves me correct, Mark Lowe built that in his shop there, and it gave us a foundation on which to set the framework on the car. Okay, go ahead. Here's where it gets personal for me. If I get emotional, and I will, you just bear with me, because here's where the real message is. You see the car on the bottom, it's on that jig, but you see what's left at the top? That's where the car had to be taken down to for us to start over. Not much there, is there? Who would have ever thought that if that's all there is left, why even bother? See, here's the deal. That's a picture of my life about 45 years ago. Until somebody told me. Somebody paid the price for me so that I didn't have to stay that way. Yeah, I don't mind leaking a little bit. Because you see, this is about life and death this morning, folks. We're talking about eternal things. You see, I was like that car. You say, I get it. You were heavily into drugs. No. Well, then maybe you were an alcoholic. No. Well, maybe you were sexually promiscuous. No. Maybe you were a thief or a thug. Do I look like a thug? No. No. I was lost. Lost. You see, we don't think sometimes that lost, my friend, it's lost. It's without Christ. That's what lost means. Not that my life looks good or that I'm a good husband or a good father or a good son or a good employee or a good citizen or a good worker. You see, it's about being lost. This Pontiac Firebird sat in that field in Iowa for 12 years, and it was completely lost. Let me put this in perspective for you. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 and following says this, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, wow, who is rich in mercy and grace, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved." You see, there's no degrees of dead. We sometimes use that word wrong. We say he's almost dead. He's nearly dead. He's approaching dead. Folks, dead is dead. It means the absence of life. The absence of life. In some ways, our class became a savior for this old Pontiac Firebird. We saw in the car a value. We saw how it could be used for ministry. Mostly Chris McDonald deserves credit for this. But as it began to unfold and things began to come off of this old car, the more stuff we took off of it, the deeper we understood the problems went. You see, what I want to share with you this morning is there's a mentality floating around this country today that, you know what, God's going to look on my life at the end and he's going to weigh it in the balances between my good stuff and my bad stuff. And I just hope and pray that that's going to be enough and I'm going to get into heaven based on the fact that I'm a pretty good person. Guess what, folks? That's wishful thinking. That's not hope. You see, hope is founded in a relationship with Jesus Christ. If nobody picks this old car up and decides to do something with it, it continues to sit in that field in Iowa, and the weather and everything else is going to continue to deteriorate it. You see, rust is just like sin. It gets deep into our lives. It goes into places that are hidden, and it does its evil work there. It doesn't need any encouragement. Just a little bit of moisture in the wrong place will begin to disintegrate the nicest of automobiles. And that's what happens in my life and in your life, is sin gets in there and it causes us to deteriorate from the inside. Oh yeah, we can paint over top of that and think it's okay. We can make it look good for a little while, but it's going to continue to do its evil work. It's like this old car here. We had to cut stuff off of it. We had to throw away those things that weren't any good and had to replace it with the new stuff. And as we continue to work on this car, Chris says, what are we going to call our project? And we said, we really don't know, I don't know, Pontiac Restoration. What do you think we should call it? And he came up one Sunday morning in Sunday school and he says, listen, I got it. We need to call this Project R for resurrection. So why is that? I said, because dead things require a resurrection, not a restoration. If it's alive, it can be restored. If it's dead, it needs a resurrection. Paul, having said this, that you are dead in your trespasses and sins, that's pretty serious, isn't it? Dead means dead. That means there's an absence of life there. Paul is saying to the Ephesian church, unless you have Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are dead in your trespasses and sins. This car, folks, taught me a lot. We worked on it for 4 years. We took it to car shows. We drove it after it got ready to go. We drove it all the way from here to Illinois and put it in the power tour. Some of you know what that is. It's a group of car guys who have old classic cars and trucks, and they meet at a certain place, and every day they drive to a different location for 7 days, and they show their cars and they talk about them. We were privileged to drive this thing all the way to Illinois and back and take it to car shows, and I've stood beside the car when it was finished, even when it wasn't finished, and continued to tell this story like I'm sharing with you this morning. We have a book, a folder like this right here, that has pictures of those same things that you're seeing there. And I can remember standing beside that car a number of times and showing those pictures. And when we get down to that picture, it's personal. I would ask you, if you were watching or standing beside that car, can I be personal with you for just a minute? You see how that car looks, how destroyed it was? That was my life. No, I wasn't hooked up on drugs or alcohol. I wasn't a criminal or a thug in any way. But the reality of the matter was, is that no matter how good my life looked, I was lost. I was dead in my trespasses and sins. And it would require a resurrection in my life. And my resurrection took place there when Jesus stepped out of that tomb. He died for my sins. He was resurrected for my life. This car was wasting away, unnoticed, unimportant, and unnecessary. And I'll be honest with you, I think there are a number of people today who walk around feeling unimportant, unnoticed, unnecessary. They don't think God cares a thing in the world about them. They don't think maybe they have anything to offer. As we looked at this thing and this car, and we thought about the reality of the situation, the words of the body shop guy keeps coming back over and over into my mind. Yeah, it can be saved, but I don't know anybody to be willing to pay that kind of price. Well, here's the good news today, church. Jesus Christ paid that price. He paid that price for you. You're valuable. You're worth it. You might be sitting here today, and if you were honest with me, your life is a wreck. Just like that. And you might think God couldn't use anybody like you. Nobody could bring you back from where you are. You have too much water underneath the bridge. Too many years have gone by in your life, and you got really nothing to offer, nothing to bring to the table. Let me tell you something. Nothing is more beautiful than watching something like that. Piece by piece by piece turn into something absolutely beautiful. Go ahead, please. Oh, you're already there. That's where I wanted it to go. Would you have honestly thought, seeing that last picture that I showed, that that thing could be this? See, here's what we tell them, and what I still tell people. There's no way that car could save itself. Couldn't get up out of that field. Couldn't have its own resurrection. Couldn't have its own restoration. Somebody had to love it enough to make that happen. I feel a little weird thinking about it being called a Savior. That's the only words we could actually think of that really tied the whole thing together. And I would say to you this, with no disrespect to the talent of the guys and girls, and yes, we had girls working on this car, with no disrespect to their talent and their passions and their abilities, none of us did this for a living. But think about it like this. If a bunch of guys and girls can love an old broken Firebird enough to take it from where it was to what you see right there, can you just imagine what an unlimited God who loves you unconditionally can do in the most broken life? See, that's the message. That's how car becomes a picture of salvation. You have the resurrection, and then the Holy Spirit of God begins to root out all that stuff that's damaged and broken in you. And it's a process. And He will make something beautiful of your life if you let Him. You see, that car couldn't save itself. The common objection that I hear is, but I'm a pretty good guy. I'm a pretty good girl. I'm a good employee. I'm honest. I tell the truth. I work hard. I respect people. Doesn't that count for something? And I would look at you with as much love as I know how to, and I would say to you, absolutely. That does count for something, but not salvation. Salvation is not of you. You can't get to that place on your own. And the Word of God says ever so clearly that no one comes to the Father except through the Son. What made this real for me? If that's not true, if no one comes to the Father but by the Son, God made the greatest mistake ever been made in the history of mankind when He allowed Jesus Christ to die on the cross for our sins. If there's a plan B, the cross was the greatest mistake that was ever made in the history of the world. If it were your Son, and you gave Him up for the sins of the world, and then all of a sudden there became a plan B, that the thought that you might could be good enough without Him, what would that do to you? My wife and I have two sons. The thought of getting giving up either one of them for the sins of the world is beyond my ability to even communicate to you. But to give one of them up and there all of a sudden be another plan, I can't imagine. God didn't make a mistake there. It's a resurrection. I know this is a crazy, unusual message, and I appreciate your kindness in bearing with me. But this issue of salvation is one of the biggest things going on in our churches today. Satan is running rampant in congregations all over this world, whispering in the ears of men and women, boys and girls, just like you. You're a pretty good guy. You're a pretty good girl. Don't worry about it. Loving God would never send you to hell. On the cross member, right underneath where the engine sits up front in the engine compartment there, welded across the front of that cross frame on that car is 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he's a brand new creature. Old things are passing away. Behold, all things are becoming new. The more old stuff that got brought off, taken off this car and thrown away, and the more new stuff that got put back on it, the more beautiful it began to look. It's part of our process called sanctification. It's that process when you and I give our life to Christ. God's Spirit begins to cut all the crud out of our life and replace that with stuff that's useful and meaningful. If your passion is going away, if your desire is starting to slip, if for some crazy reason you think God could not use you at all, that you bring nothing to the table, think again, please. May I encourage you, think again. He loves you unconditionally and will do a work in you like nobody else would ever do, and you've not gone too far for that to start. And do not listen to Satan when he talks to you about there's no value. We learned also that change comes with a great price. Make no mistake, it's a lot of work. Sometimes it became, you know, it's a lot of work to help it get to the place where it could be what it's supposed to be. It's easy to lose heart. It's a lot of times we went home and we didn't see any progress at all. We thought, wow, what are we into here? What are we bit off? What are we doing here? You become frustrated and aggravated. You get that way, things break mechanically, physically they break. Lots of guys spent lots of hours, volunteer hours, every single one of them. We had people coming out of the woodwork wanting to be a part of this project, and I could honestly talk to you for another hour, but I know we can't. That engine that was a boat anchor, when we had this car at our first car show, it was gutted completely. All it was a shell and four wheels. It would roll and steer. And we had it at First Baptist at the mall where we have our car shows. Two guys came up to Chris, and they said, listen, we read the story of your car. We had it on a big placard beside it. We read the story of your car. I'm like, no, if we can get involved. Chris said, well, what are you interested in? He said, well, we're engine builders, and we're Pontiac guys. And we're from Dawsonville, Georgia. If you're a NASCAR fan, you know Bill Elliott's from there. That's 100 miles north of Atlanta or thereabout. He said, we're down here on vacation. We saw your car show. We read the placard in front of your car. I'd love to get involved. Really? And then they said, well, what do you need? Chris said, I just busted out laughing. And I said, what don't we need? You know? He said, well, we're engine builders, and we'd love to build an engine for you to put in the car. I understand you don't have one. Chris said, well, guys, don't get too far ahead. We don't have a budget for this car yet. We just barely got it rolling where we can move it around a little bit. He said, you don't understand. He said, we're Christians, and we believe in what you're doing, and we think it's a really cool message. And if it's all right with you, we'd like to go back to Dawsonville and build you an engine on our dime. And they did. $6,000 worth. Everything in it was brand new. There's a picture of that on the screen, but I don't know if you can find it or not. The deal is that they wouldn't accept a dime. Matter of fact, 2 weeks into the process, he calls up Chris and he says, hey, listen, we've looked all over the place up here. We can't find a 350 cubic inch block. Would you take a 400? We're all out of $50 bills. Would you take a $100 bill? Chris said, I was speechless. And I said, yeah, we'll do whatever you want us to do. So 3 weeks later, the guys called back and said, your engine's ready. We need some GPS coordinates. Chris said, boy, what are we talking about? He said, I made a stand to bolt it to that's strapped into the back of my S10. He said, we just need some coordinates. We're going to bring it to you. No, we'll come and get it. No, you won't. They brought it to my house on Dean Boulevard. Backed it up in my backyard, and on one of those little cherry picker things that you take an engine in and out with, we picked it up, swung it around, and set it down on that Pontiac Firebird. Brand new from front to back. I could go on and on and on. Dakota Digital instruments on the dash, Corvette wheels and tires, on and on and on and on and on and on. And the whole point is this. I don't want you to think that I'm up here bragging about how special we are. No. I'm bragging about how special God is. When he sends people to you, when you sit in a Sunday school class and somebody teaches his word and it hits you right in your heart, and you know without a shadow of a doubt that they're talking about you, and you hath he quickened who were dead in your trespasses and sins. when somebody preaches, when somebody sings the good news of the gospel to you. That's an opportunity for you to make a choice for Jesus. The price was huge, but it was worth paying, and we do it again. And on the 10th day of November 2012, we gave that car away. I had a guy stand beside the car, and we had a big, when it was driving and running there at the very last, we had a big sign in the back window that said, "Win this car for free." You don't think that won't draw some attention? Guy walked up to me and he says, "I don't get it. Win this car for free. Heard your story. You guys spent 4.5 years on this restoration." "Yes, sir." "I'm guessing you spent thousands of dollars on this restoration." "Yes, sir." "And maybe hundreds of hours as well?" "Oh, yeah. Yeah." "All right, I don't get it. Why in the world you want to give it away? That don't make any sense to me at all." I said, "I'm glad it doesn't, because here's what I want you to hear before you walk away. Salvation is free." It wasn't free to Jesus, but it's free to you. That's the only fitting end for that car, was to give it away. And we did. And Jesus is here today in spirit. And he's ready to do a resurrection on your life if you're lost. He's ready to do a restoration on your life if you're saved and you need it. He's ready to cut that junk out of your life that causes it to be ugly and useless and replace it with beautiful things that causes you to be useful. I won't even pretend to know where you are spiritually today. I suspect in any congregation this size, there may be one or two people who are absolutely lost. You could be as lost as that car was lost and feel abandoned and useless and rejected. But your salvation, my friend, was paid for because Jesus thought you were worth it, and he could see what you could become, not what you are. My question to you is, will you let him begin in your life and make something beautiful out of it? If you were lost, I will be right here in just a minute. You don't need me, but should you want to, I'll be happy to pray with you. You don't have to move from where you are, but you can honestly bow your head and you can ask Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior. I'm going to close this message today with a prayer. If you're here today and you'd be real for just a minute and you'd say, "Yeah, I thought I was a pretty good guy, but I understand where you're coming from. In reality, without Christ, I'm dead in my trespasses and sins, and I need to make a choice for Jesus." I'm going to pray that prayer in just a moment. I'm going to pray it out loud, and if you mean business, I'm going to ask you to pray it silently to the Lord Jesus Christ and ask him to be your Lord and Savior. Maybe you need a restoration. Maybe it's time that your enthusiasm got put back where it belongs. Maybe you need to get excited about God. Maybe you need to come from where you are to somewhere different. Whatever the Spirit of God is saying to you, I'm going to ask you to make that move today. These altars are wide open. So please, if you would, stand with me right where you are. Please close your eyes. Just stand with me if you would. Please close your eyes. If you are lost today, please pray this prayer silently while I pray it aloud. Lord, I realize that without Jesus Christ as my Savior, that I am dead in my trespasses and sins. I realize you paid the entire price for my salvation, and it is free to me for the choosing. So because I know that I am lost, I want to receive you as my Lord and Savior this very moment. I ask you to come into my heart and to save me, to resurrect me from the dead. And I have a desire to live for you and be all that I can be and should be. Thank you for loving me unconditionally and giving me this privilege to know you personally. In Christ's name, I pray. Amen. Do you know that you know if you died before you get home today, you'd spend your eternity with Christ. If you don't know that, folks, this is your divine appointment.